inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you joining me today. We've got a theme today. It's not a pretty theme. Let me just tell you, this is going to be one of those sensitive topics, all right? But in every situation, we need to have a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective, and we need to make sure that we are not ignoring our duty, that we're not... the right way to say this. It's not that we're being lazy. Sometimes it's just we just don't want to fight that fight. We just don't want to deal with that issue. Sometimes we just, it's not just that we're busy. It's not just, it's certainly not that we're lazy. It's that it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. And initially, we may not even believe that it's a real problem. And then when we do, it's like, I don't know if I could do anything about it. And then even when we realize there's a game plan, there's a way to win this particular battle in the culture, even then it's uncomfortable. And the topic today is, what do we do about the explicit materials in our schools? Now, don't tune out if you're thinking, I'm a homeschooler, or I'm private school, I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. We need, and we'll talk about this today, we need to make sure that we're still paying attention to what's happening to 80% of the kids in our neighborhood. So I've got several great guests to talk about it today. And the first one up is Bonnie Wallace. Bonnie looks like this sweet, wonderful woman.
Hey, I am.
She's a warrior.
I am
that
too.
She's an absolute warrior. That backbone right there, enough to make a freight train take a dirt road, I'm telling you. We got a tough topic today, but she's been winning. And we want you to be winning in your communities all over the country. And what's happening to you, Bonnie, or what started you in Lano, is happening in virtually every community across the country. So anybody out there that says, oh, that's not happening in my school.
Yes.
We got news for them today.
That's exactly right. I have not found, been to 157 school boards and school in school libraries.
157?
Yes. And I have not found one clean library.
Wow.
So it's there in yours as well.
So we're gonna back up and get your story first, and then we'll talk action items.
Okay.
And what people can do in their communities. And man, this one is started off guerrilla warfare. If you think this isn't happening in your community,
You're wrong.
Is not just the big cities, the inner cities, whatever. This is everywhere. So tell us about Lano. People in your own community you know forever didn't want you to do this.
Well, and I think I give everybody grace, because when I first heard there was bad content in the library, well, first of all, I didn't know what it looked like. And I was actually getting my hair cut. And the young lady that cuts my hair said, have you seen any of the pictures? And I said, no. And she said, look, I have one on my phone. And she showed me from three different angles, and it was in our public library, and my hair started on fire, and it's never stopped since.
Wow.
So that was my trajectory. And I wrote an email to the judge that evening and to all the commissioners, to every parent I knew, to every teacher I knew, every business owner, and every pastor in Lano. I said, we need to have a weekly prayer vigil over our children in Lano, because Satan is after our children.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. This was November of 2021. So fast forward, I gave the commissioners and the judge the book list of bad books that I had found, and we were being sued. Me for telling them, and them for taking the action. Their reason is that we curtailed their First Amendment right of the children.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, the seven residents of Lano that are suing us are all adults, so they don't really have standing, I would say. But God is going to use this for great glory.
Yeah.
And he already is. It's stuck at the Fifth Circuit right now waiting. Did you hear the Supreme Court?
No.
Okay. So
on this, I hadn't.
Not on ours, but on a book issue in Maryland. LGBT books that talk about same sex and same sex relationships. They have sex organs, sex acts, things that, you know, our kindergarten children.
I was going to say, like, what age group? This is not college. This is not even high school seniors. This is going, they're doing it to groom the kids. I mean, let's be blunt. They're doing, and even in, like you say, that you have these adults that are claiming they're fighting for free speech of kids. What they're really fighting for is the ability to manipulate those kids.
Amen. And it's very dark. I have books that have QR codes that takes you to sex shops. It takes you to sex videos.
75 different
QR codes
taking the kid from what is supposedly just free speech
from
to learn
library.
From the library in our local public schools
out to these dark, really,
very,
honestly,
very dark places.
Mean, yes.
Listen to me. It's demonic and it's dark. This is Satan after our children. I'm going to show you another book. This book on page 164 tells kids to look up interviews with their favorite porn performers, go to the sites they recommend, and the last statement shocks you, and pay for your porn. I'll show you the page.
It's in the book.
12-year-old book of the year in 2022 by the American Library Association.
Wait, what?
Yep. You know, I run into parents every week that are shocked. I carry these books with me literally to show people because they make my case for me. This book has a disclaimer on the publisher's page. This is a 12-year-old book of the year, Random House children's book. It says the authors and publisher expressly disclaim responsibility from any adverse effects which may result from the use of information contained in this book.
6-year-old, you know, I'm going to start this chainsaw out for you. Don't hurt yourself. And we take no liability.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And people ask me all the time, why did you wait until your daughter was out of school to challenge books in the Llano High School? I said, I never knew.
Didn't know about it once. Yeah.
I did not know about it. And they can't believe it, but it's the absolute truth. Listen, I'm not going to sit by and let harmful content rape our children's minds, because that's exactly what they're doing.
The mind is literally changed. Like the wiring of the brain is changed. And they know that. That's why they're trying to get them while they're very young.
100%. So I suggest everybody listen to Ted Bundy's final interview before he was executed. It is so powerful and it is so telling about the trajectory of a child at age 11 that becomes addicted to porn.
And this is the masked, you know, serial killer. Anyway, Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, somehow befriended him and got him to interview him or allow him to interview him. And
he came in to bring him to Christ.
Yeah.
Because even serial murderers are loved by Jesus if they accept him.
Yeah.
And supposedly he came to Jesus and all his sins were washed away. But it was a very convicting interview because it talks about how he could no longer function as a human being without pornography. Think about it this way. How many times do we see like a police officer that gets arrested for having pornography in his car, or teachers, anybody? Yeah. We see this. And I always said, why don't they just wait until they get home? Mm. What in the world? Why can't you just wait? Well, here's the deal. TPPF, Texas Public Policy Foundation, did an intense study on the effects of pornography on the brain. And they compared it to heroin, to cocaine, to crack, to all these things. Guess what? Pornography was the most addictive substance they had ever tracked.
Wow.
And it's something like 28 minutes, you lose your high. They cannot wait 8 hours to get home.
I had Phil King on. You know Phil. He was on a few weeks ago about one of the pieces of legislation that he's working on. And same thing. He was talking about just the effect that it has, the lives that it's destroyed, and, you know, going through why this is no longer a private issue. Because a lot of people, that's their response initially. They say, with the adults, it's just a private issue or whatever. Like when we passed the Nate Shastline's bill last year requiring age verification, right? So a lot of people will say, oh, you know, it's a private issue. Now, this is a public policy issue because it radically changes people's behavior. And like you said, it becomes an uncontrollable thing. And it's as bad as heroin and those other drugs. And so
you're right. And the other thing is that we're paying for this.
Yeah.
If a grown adult is addicted to porn and they're buying their porn and they got to have it, well, they're paying for it. Our tax dollars are buying this stuff and then encouraging kids to read it in every school.
Meaning like our taxpayer dollars are paying for these books to go into the library and
the school
basically create the business for the porn industry.
I rest my case.
Yeah. And the left has taken this institution and they're now using it and using our money to indoctrinate the next generation.
Yes. To change America radically.
Yeah. You know, it just hit me. You mentioned the Supreme Court. Is this I did see a clip where Ketanji Brown Jackson basically said, well, then don't read the book.
Right. Correct.
Or don't go to the school, as if most of these parents have the option. Correct. Most of them don't. So she was very dismissive of, you know, hey, the parent, you know, first of all, they tried to keep the parents from even knowing. But in this case, she's saying if the parent knows, well, then take your kid to a different school. Most parents don't have that choice.
Right. Right. I mean, they don't. And the other thing is that these books, originally, this Maryland school district, I can't remember the name of it, they would allow parents to opt out. If you don't want this, your kids can opt out.
Okay.
But then the school board came together and said, too many kids are opting out. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that parents are not interested in this.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, let me tell you, the books for the 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, they're very discouraging, very disgraceful, very shocking also. It's not just the older kids' books, but those are the ones that I focus on.
Yeah. And that also kind of explains at least for me, I've wondered, you know, our mutual friend, Kirk Cameron, and all that he's done with the, you know, getting rid of the drag queen stuff, or at least giving an alternative. I've always wondered, like, why are parents even allowing this? Why are schools allowing this? And why are the drag queens even, why are they going into the schools?
Well,
they're literally after the little bitty kids.
They're after the babies. And the answer is this: scales over the eyes.
Mm.
Okay, I've known what that looked like conceptually my whole life, but I never encountered it where I literally see people. And by the way, I've also grown closer to Christ in my battle, because you don't have a choice. Yeah. You either become closer to Christ or you turn your back on him. And I refuse to turn my back on him. I will never. And so I can literally see things on a more spiritual level now. And I can see scales come down over their eyes. Wow. And the people are just like, I don't see anything wrong with this. I'm like, okay, well, look again.
How look in again. The world?
But the Bible tells us.
It does.
It's going to happen.
It's a Romans 1 situation. Here they lack understanding. They've been given over to a depraved mind. That's there's no doubt about it.
So let me tell you this. I discovered in June, July of last year that the Texas Department of Criminal Justice has a list of 10,800 books they prohibit Texas prisoners from accessing.
Wait, so they're so bad.
They're so bad.
They can't go into the prisons.
That's right. But they're
for the prisoners.
All of our schools.
But they're okay. Wait, how many?
Yes, 10,800. They're not all related to sexual content. Some are related to making bombs. Well, okay, I don't want kids to have those either in high schools.
Right.
But I mean, there's other categories.
But just the logic of that, right? It's too bad for the prisoners.
That's right.
But it's not too bad for our children.
That's exactly right. So here we go. This is how Satan is working.
So if we've got a viewer right now that's going, you know what? My heart is stirred. This is a fight I want to engage in. What's the best way to get started?
Well, they can call me or they can email me. It's very detailed, so I can't tell you here now. It'll take too much time. Yeah. How to go on the school websites. You go into your school catalog and I have a list of 971 books.
And so they can take your list.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And do the work in their particular.
Send them my list. Everybody, I've had lots of calls.
And just email Bonnie, and I'm telling you, she gives of her time to help all these people all over the country. It's one reason I'm so optimistic about the future of the country is that there's just been this army. It started with just a handful, and now more and more people are saying, hey, you know what? I'll come spend my time. It's really literally lives, fortune, sacred honor. 100%. I'll spend my time. You have to spend money doing this. It costs money to do this, to drive it to all these places, to fly to all these places. But more and more people are saying, I want to make a difference.
And it's because they're looking at the books.
Yeah.
Right. If you're listening to the rhetoric, you're even listening to the news, you're saying, well, it's not so bad. It's these crazy radical zealots, you know,
book burners,
Christian zealots.
Yeah.
It's not that. Yeah. It is so shocking that when you actually open your eyes and take a look, you cannot turn your back on the children.
Amen.
You must stand.
Amen.
And so we stand. This book, if I have a minute, I'm going to finish up with this book.
Sure.
This book I found recently. It is about a 14-year-old girl who decides she doesn't want to live with her parents anymore. And so she goes to a homeless camp, finds a female about her size and shape, invites her home to visit, kills her, and then leaves her own suicide note. And wait, she goes to live off the grid with six other 14-year-olds who've done the same thing. This is also a 12-year-old book of the year.
Wow.
And so they are talking one night, and they decide that her stepfather has always looked at her funny and has to die.
Wow.
So they're laughing for about 2.5 pages about how they know the perfect way to get away with murder. And I ask school boards, why are we allowing these demonic thoughts to be planted
exactly.
in children's minds?
Exactly.
Why?
Yeah.
So it's not only sex, very, very heavy drug use. Animals, dead bodies.
What?
Sex in public. No, I mean, I got it all for you.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you're dealing with evil all the time. Folks at home want to pray for you. What would you ask for?
Well, I never have a problem except if I disconnect from Jesus, right? So pray.
You literally covered in armor when you're going in.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
And remember, our armor only covers our front, y'all. So when we're taking flaming arrows and fiery darts, if we turn and run because we are fearful, well, we have no cover.
That's good. That'll preach, Bonnie.
It covers only our front.
That'll preach.
So I just try to stay connected to Jesus, because when I disconnect and say, okay, I'm going to go do this that you don't like very much, that's when my problems hit. So just pray that I have the courage and the discernment to stay connected to Jesus, because then, I mean, if God's on my side, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net.
Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back at the Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks so much for staying with me. Of course, Bonnie Wallace with us. Very, very important topic that we're covering today. And I was going to have another guest with us on this topic, but I think I'm going to wait until next week for that one because, just trust me, it's going to be worth it. We're going to have a website to give you ways to take action and then also an additional guest beyond that. Because of a Supreme Court case is coming up. So I'm going to kind of pivot here and jump over to a different topic. It actually still applies because God's word applies to everything in our life. And the next guest, we're going to be talking about, you know, literally that kingdom mindset, the kingdom system that we need to be plugging into. Charlie Lewis joined me recently in the tavern. Now, that's my television program that I do. And I know sometimes we get emails and calls. Why do you call it the tavern, Rick? What are you drinking? What's going on in there? Yes, I'm drinking coffee. Okay, so the tavern, you got to remember the revolutionary period. That's more like a restaurant. This is not some crazy, you know, drunken fest bar. This is a place people gathered to discuss what was going on in the world. It was the place they a lot of major events happened there. The Constitution was actually ratified for the first time, the first state. We think of Delaware as the first state. Where was the Constitution ratified in Delaware? In a tavern, the Golden Fleece Tavern. And then, of course, it was places that, you know, like George Washington had the meeting to the dinner to say goodbye to his officers. You had the, you know, the taverns that the Sons of Liberty met in and discussed the strategies and tactics for preserving liberty. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So anyway, I just think it's a cool name, and it's definitely means something different than I think some people initially see. And I kind of like causing a little intrigue anyway. At any rate, Charlie Lewis joined me in the tavern for an extended conversation about his new book series on the kingdom system. And this is really fascinating stuff. This is the way I thought for a long time anyway. Listen, I was raised on Zig Ziglar, very much an application of biblical worldview to business and to life and all of those things, parenting, you name it. And in the same way, you know, I'm friends with Lance Wall now, the Seven Mountains, the whole idea that there's no area of the culture that we should not be taking God's principles into. When you line up with the laws of nature and nature's God, you get a good result. When you go against those, you get a bad result. And so Charlie's system is a phenomenal way of looking at that, and just thrilled that I had a chance to visit with him. I haven't even released this episode of The Tavern yet, but I'm going to put the audio here for you to hear as members of American Family Association and listening to American Family Radio. You get it first. So here's Charlie Lewis joining me in The Tavern. Welcome back to The Tavern. Thanks for staying with us. My good friend Charlie Lewis with us. I got to clank mugs with you, Charlie. Okay. So grab your mug there. All right.
Blessings.
Amen. Lord bless our time together. Welcome. You know, this is one of those really good strategies and tactics discussions in the tavern, just like the Founding Fathers had. We're going to be talking about the kingdom system. This is just the first of three books that Charlie's got coming out. Charlie, I've been using your declaration stuff for a couple of years since I found you. Mm. I grew up on Zig, man. So I used to have my 3x5 cards, mm-hmm. and I'd stand in front of the mirror like Zig always taught us, and I'd, you know, go through those. But
PDR. Practice, drill, and rehearse.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's what he said. Yeah. And it is renewing the mind. Anyway, you go in so much in depth in that in the book. That's what I'm looking forward to chatting with you about. And you also back up each of those with scripture. So it's not just some flesh desire. Right. This is what God told me I am.
Yeah.
It's God's identity for us. Anyway, welcome, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to have you.
It's a privilege. You're kind of on the cutting edge, and you interview so many people. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, first time we met, I don't know if you remember, we were at a CMP event, and I was standing in the hallway talking to somebody, and you walked by, and you looked at me, and you went, "Flashpoint." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I said, "Wait, what?" And then we started talking, and so anyway, I guess part of what I want to really get into with you is people don't think about biblical worldview as having the science behind it, and I'm already stole your term. I would say borrow. You know, Zig always said first time. My good friend Charlie Lewis says, and then the second time I have a friend who says, and then from then on it's I've always said. But the whole idea of not just laws of nature and nature's God, but the dynamic. I love that word, the dynamics that God put in place. That when we plug into that and we do it His way.
I agree.
The results are remarkable.
Yeah, I came about this. I was being drawn by the Holy Spirit to study And I wasn't really sure where I was going. I just felt I need to study it. And the Spirit told me to read everything in Scripture that Jesus said. Well, you have to realize that I was in the middle of a major development. I was working 18 hours a day plus. And I was a bit annoyed when I was told to read everything that Jesus said when he was on the earth. And my comment,
because you were already busy with all these other, I'm doing your work, Lord. Wait, give me a timeline on this. Because was this when you were in furniture business, insurance business, Mrs. Military? What time of your life was this?
A lot of those things together, but it was when I was in the insurance business, which I still am. My family is, and I was developing a resort, a major resort that became a Relais and Chateau property. It's a historical plantation on almost 50 acres, 39 buildings, and that's where we live today.
Nice.
Although we sold the property, we kept our home there. And anyway, so
but this would have been the last 20 years then.
This was in the last 8 years.
Okay.
8 years. And I was being drawn to that. And so the Holy Spirit said, I want you to read everything that I said when I was on the earth. And I was so annoyed. I said, this stuff in red, Lord, I get it. Okay. And I could, now on this side of it, I can just see the Lord smiling and laughing at my impetus to say, yeah, the stuff in red, Lord. And I began to, I read it. And when I came back, I said to the Lord, I said, I've read it. And he said, no. And I said, now, Lord, that bothers me because I know you know that I did read it. And he said, no, Charlie. He said, you read it with your religious mind. You didn't read it with an open spirit to hear what my spirit wants to say to your spirit.
Mm.
And I wept. I mean, it just crushed me because early in my walk, I read a lot of Watchman Nee. I loved Watchman Nee, who was a Chinaman who was so talented and gifted. And he wrote three volumes called The Spiritual Man. And I had read that and I understood what he was saying. I wasn't engaging my eternal spirit. I was engaging my earthly mind.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting what he was saying. So I said, I repented. I asked forgiveness. I went back and I said, I'll read it again.
You said the same thing about when you read, was it Robertson's book, Secret Kingdom? I remember in the book you talk about that.
Yeah, I did.
You had read it. But then you had to go back and read it with a totally different.
And I was friends with Pat, served on the board at Regent. And I said, and so I was talking to him about his book. And I said, you know, I read that some time ago. He said, well, you know, I've got a new updated edition. I said, really? I didn't know that. So I got it and read that too. So it really helped me. But anyway, as I was reading and rereading it, I got through and I came back and I said, okay, Lord, I'm really more confused than I was when I began. I said, I don't have a clue what you're wanting me to get out of this. I said, I don't. He said, to my spirit, he said, what did you see? I said, well, it's remarkable. You didn't teach any of the things when you were on the earth that I've been taught in church. I said, you didn't teach all of these things that have become silos and so important doctrines. He said, no. What did I teach? I said, you taught the kingdom of God. That's all you taught. And he said, that's right.
Now you've been paying attention is what he said.
Yeah. And I said, okay, I get it. The kingdom. I said, so that's what you want me to know. That's what you want me to understand is your kingdom. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, Lord, you know, I was born in the West. We don't have the kind of kingdoms you're talking about. So I don't know. So he said, well, how do you deal with that? You're a businessman. He said, I'll research. He said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go back, read everything in Scripture and see what the Holy Spirit says to you about what you were reading. And it changed my life. I saw so much. I realized the most important thing was that that was the central theme and the primary message of all that Jesus taught. It was the center, but yet we haven't made it the center for us.
Mm.
You know, and I said, well, if that's important to you, it ought to be important to me. And so then I'm reading in Matthew where he said, make it first, seek first
the kingdom.
And here's a clue that I missed so much of my life, Rick. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's two things.
Mm.
So I just lumped it all together. But what it really is, and the thing that has been so transitional and pivotal to me, is he said, the kingdom of God is the government of heaven, and it is my redemptive plan for governance. The whole of Scripture is about governance. Mm. And I had never, I live by a different paradigm, and that's what the second thing was. Righteousness there is translated in some translations as his way of doing and being right. Mm. That's a paradigm.
That's good.
That's the ideas, the assumptions, and the values that we accept, and they form our understanding of how our world operates.
Yeah.
And they become the prism that we look for everything in our life through.
That makes that actually gives so much depth to a shallow statement I've always said, which is God's way is not only right, it works best. But that's why. Yeah. What you just described is why it works best. I've already learned a lot already, just you know, a couple of minutes into this. Number one, that if I ever want to be as successful as Charlie, I got to read everything twice. It's not enough to read it once. I got to go back and read it again and again and again. And then God opens and illuminates it. No, seriously. I mean, that we get so familiar, the law of familiarity, right? And then we don't dig deep into those things, especially if you grew up in the church and you've read the Bible multiple times. And how did you, when you would go back in and you would be seeking the depth of, okay, how does this kingdom system work? What did you ask God to do in terms of your understanding? Like, how did you approach the study, I guess is what I'm saying.
The first thing that came to me when the Lord's, when I read that, I said, wait a minute, are you telling me that the kingdom of God is the government of heaven, and you brought it to the earth for us to engage and to employ in the living of our life? It's not just some religious thing or some spiritual thing. It is the nuts and bolts of how we are to live our life. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
I said, why didn't I know that? I said, I didn't just get here, Lord. I've been in and I think if you were Pentecostal, you know, some of those old people would testify when they had testimony service, and they would say, I've been in the way for 50 years. And the pastor would say, you sure have. So I was wondering if I'd been in the way or if I was really learning.
Yeah.
But I understood what he was saying. He said something to me. He said, I said to him, so this is what you want me to know? This is what I need to understand? He said, Charlie, you've had a measure of success. People will look at you and say, you are successful, but you have not touched the success that I have planned for you and you want until you understand my kingdom, my system, and how it works.
Wow.
As an entrepreneur, I said, bring it on.
Yeah. What's next, Lord? Give it to me.
I'm ready.
How do people respond? You know, there's a lot of, especially in the church, there's a lot of just, you know, gazing into the sky and waiting for the Lord to come back, right? And that's the only time his kingdom is going to. And
escape the.
Right. And this is totally opposite of that. This is saying, hey, it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Yeah.
You see, there are paradigms that we live our life by. There's three ones that I have personally experienced that I realized where I made a mistake. When Jesus said, seek my governance, my rule, my way of doing and being right, my paradigm, and then all these things will be added to you beside. Wait a minute. That's kind of an important thing there. When I learn to do things the way he wants me to do, he's promised me abundant blessings. Mm. But the challenge with most of us is we become born again. You cannot become born again without engaging heaven. That is a different realm and a different dimension that we have to engage.
But we usually stop there. That's salvation. It's like, now I got my ticket to heaven. I'm going to go back to whatever. Or I'll try to do better, but we don't apply.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. And what Jesus said, we have to understand that it's more than the door.
Yeah.
You know, the church has done an amazing job on redemption.
Yeah.
But restoration.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that in your book. I mean, when you said that, I was like, oh, that's gold right there. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
We aren't taught that. And one of the problems that we have.
Wait, we got to say that again. The church has done a great job on redemption, but not on restoration.
Not teaching
and
us
teaching. Restoration. Sorry, go ahead.
That's what the kingdom is all about. It's about restoration. So what what I got out of that was, okay, Lord, I want to know it all. I want you to tell me how this works and how this operates. And it has been such an amazing progress. And he began to say, he said, Charlie, you entered into a relationship with me through the new birth, through being born again, through redemption, but you go back and then you gravitate to the system of the world. Mm. You do business and you're successful because I anoint you, but you don't touch the success I have for you because you go to that old world paradigm. You're still using
the wrong operating system.
The world paradigm. Yeah. And it won't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's two different systems and two different ways to do it. Well, for a while, I was a pretty religious person, so I used that religious paradigm. And I made everything religious and work and all God didn't care about. That's not what Scripture says. He cares about everything that we care about. He designed us and put that desire in there for us to engage Him in everything in our life. And some people go to the church paradigm. Jesus, when He was on the earth, He taught and He modeled perfectly the kingdom paradigm. Mm. His way of doing and being right.
What would be... Since we can't go through the whole thing today, what would be the first step you would encourage people to do if they want to walk in the kingdom system?
They have to learn His way of doing and being right. And how did He say it in Romans? He said, be not conformed, but be
transformed,
which is metamorphized. You change by the washing of the water of the Word of God. You have to love the Word of God because the Word of God is God.
Sorry to interrupt, folks. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. We'll be right back on At the Core.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Final segment of the day. And we're going to jump right back into my interview with Charlie Lewis, who joined me in the tavern just last week.
You have to love the Word of God because the Word of God is God.
Yeah.
And you have to love that. And I have described my life in business and raising a family, doing all that. There have been times in my life that God just put an unquenchable thirst.
Yeah.
To know Him and to know His Word. And you have to meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from you. And that's some of the declarations you talked about, the Word of God. The Word of God is important. You have to change the way you think. The way you think is the paradigm.
Yeah.
It's your worldview.
Yeah.
Well, you get born again and you get access to everything, and you try to run it by the world system or by a religious system or by... And it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like putting diesel in a gasoline.
Well, what did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said, your motivation is important. He said, if your motivation is just earthbound and for earthly people to see, He said, you got your reward. Mm. I don't have a reward for you. He says that in there about 3 or 4 times. But He said, when you learn to engage me, and there's so many dynamics in there that He teaches. You know, the world system teaches us that it's all asset-based, time-driven, and the pursuit of money. That's success. Mm. Jesus said, no, it's purpose-based, eternity-driven, and in the pursuit of outcome. And that changes your whole dynamic of your relationship with God. You learn how to engage heaven and bring heaven to earth. You know, religion and church sometimes teach us that escape theology. We're just waiting to get out of here.
Yeah.
God didn't say that. He said, bring heaven to the earth and allow me to impact society. God loves humanity. Mm. And He has such a, you know, I've just been basking because it's so close to the resurrection. And the resurrection is so powerful for us when we get it. First of all, it codifies who Jesus was and is. That resurrection proved. And then it proves, you know, who He was to us. Because He did that for us. But not only that, then it codifies who we are to Him, that He would do. You see all those different dynamics working there? The resurrection has a lot, and that's what the kingdom is about. It's about engaging heaven, understanding His way of doing and being right.
Go back to the three things when you just described the different paradigm instead of looking for money and what was it? You said time. It was time.
Well, see,
old paradigm.
I'll read this so I don't mess it up.
Okay, go for it.
He said, the second chapter in the 44th verse of scripture, just slipped me here, where Daniel was talking about the kingdom. He was explaining Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him. Now, you talk about a challenge. Here's a guy who has a dream, and he's not going to tell you what it is, but he wants you to tell him what it was and what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
You're not doing that without God.
Hey, that's not an assignment I'm looking for. Right. I'll stay away from that. But Daniel described it so perfectly. He said, here are these successive kingdoms. Rick, all of those were governments on the earth. It was the Babylon, Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans. And he said, the Lord wants you to know, Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen. This was thousands of years of history. You know this guy? And he says, the God himself, God of heaven himself, will establish his kingdom. You can really change that kingdom to government.
Yeah.
Because that's what he was talking about. And anytime you see kingdom in scripture, you can change it with government. And he said, God will establish his kingdom, but it's a different kingdom. It'll never be destroyed. It'll never be occupied by anybody else. It's eternal. It lasts forever. And here's the thing. We hear so much talk about the eschatology in the end times. He said, this kingdom is going to shatter all those other kingdoms into nothingness. Now, that's prophetic. God said it, and it's certain. It's going to happen. It's for sure. And so when God showed me that, I said, you're talking about government, Lord. And he said, immediately I remembered Isaiah 9:7, where he said, when Messiah comes, the government will be on his shoulders. And he said this. He said, it would bring immeasurable peace and prosperity. It would promote justice and righteousness. It would be forever, and it would cause everything to come under its influence. And he says here, the will of God, the passionate will of the hosts of heaven, of God, of the angel armies of God, will make this happen. That's pretty powerful.
But you're saying those things, like justice, can be done now. It's not. We're not waiting for the second coming.
No, I'm not saying that, Rick. I'm saying they're going to be done now.
They're going to be done
now. When you read Hebrews 12, where he talks about Mount Zion, and he talks about us, he said, the God of heaven will establish his government here on the earth. We miss it when we've had awakenings, we've had revivals, but they don't last. Why? Because we don't ever engage the paradigm. Mm. We don't change our way of thinking, our ideas and our assumptions, and our assumptions become our expectations.
Yeah.
And we read scripture, and if we don't read it from a kingdom perspective, we miss the gist of what it's saying.
Yeah.
It's important that we understand that God has a plan. When you really stop and think about it, wouldn't it be ridiculous for us to believe that the God of heaven and earth, who made such an amazing place for us to live, I mean, he made an amazing place, that he wouldn't have a place for us, have a plan for us to walk in victory while we're here.
While we're here,
we're just going to be beat up by the devil every time he turns around.
Right, right.
No. Jesus.
Like Kirk Cameron says, we're just going to cry in our Chick-fil-A soup all the time.
that's the truth. But that's not the plan of God.
Yeah.
He's coming back for a glorious church without a powerful church that has gained.
Yeah.
But you know, the challenge here, when we don't embrace that kingdom paradigm, you know, church has talked about how people are going away and how they're losing their crowds. The church, the people are looking for a kingdom church.
Yeah.
They're not looking for a church kingdom.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
And my business is not supposed to be a business kingdom. It's supposed to be
a kingdom business. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything, all of the mountains, God has a plan for government, for economy, for media, for family, for education, arts and entertainment, and religion. There's a government plan, and all we have to learn to do is engage it, recognize it, call it to the earth. How does it happen? When Jesus said, you speak it and it happens. You bring it to the earth by the confession of your mouth. When we believe it, we can call it to the earth.
Do you think the American system is the closest we've gotten to that? In other words, like they were so saturated in God's word. And then, you know, one historian said it was Christianity was the atmosphere they were breathing. Yeah. So there was a lot of the kingdom principles, the biblical justice, not social justice, that kind of stuff that they put into our founding documents and into the way. So not that it was perfect at all, but at least they had some of that. Do you think that's why we had more success? Because we got a little piece of the kingdom system?
I agree. And when you really understand how God works and his way of doing and being right, his paradigm, God chose us.
Yeah.
He didn't have to. You know, the teaching, and when Paul was talking to the Athenians, he said, he doesn't lack anything that we mortals can supply for him because he has all things and everything that he needs. Mm. But God chose us. He is love, and he chose us. And that's why he doesn't do away with evil in the world. He gives us the opportunity. He wants chosen love. Mm. You see, it's not that we are afraid of him, and it's not that we do this for some ulterior motive. It's like we have that relationship, that covenant relationship with him, and we choose. And that's what God, America did when they, in Virginia and those places, and George Washington, they made the covenant with God.
Yeah.
And he accepted it. And that's why we are where we are. But it's not enough, right?
Right.
We've got to understand his plan.
Yeah.
The government of heaven that we have to bring to the earth. I've been to Wales, went to Evan Roberts' church and to the place he started. Wales had an amazing revival. You wouldn't know it today. Mm. You can go to Azusa Street, and it's just another street.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, in fact, just last week, Andrew Womack was talking about how, you know, you had the big, you know, the Jesus Revolution in California.
Yeah.
Lots of revival. Lots of souls saved. How did you say it earlier? You got the redemption. We got the redemption part.
Yeah.
But then they didn't put the kingdom system in place, and there wasn't restoration.
That's one of the most left-wing places. That's the reason we don't flow in miracles.
Yeah.
Because we don't accept and adopt and let that kingdom paradigm become who we are.
Yeah.
You know, I was a Zig Ziglar fan too, and he talked about internalizing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just memorize scripture. That won't work. That's your head knowledge, and that comes from, knowledge comes from the earth. Wisdom comes from God, from heaven's realm. We've got to internalize it so it becomes not just what we know.
Yeah.
There's more knowledge about God and about his.
What's the practical way? Is that where the declarations become really important?
Yes.
They're literally getting it from us just having it in our head. You're reprogramming your brain and your heart to get in line, literally lining it up with the kingdom.
I work out 4 or 5 times a week as often as I can, but I have that kingdom activating declarations on my treadmill, and I say them out loud. I don't have to read them anymore because I've done it for years. But
same. I got like 50 of them, and I just every morning I just as I'm driving or whatever I can go through them. And
because I want to build up my spirit first. Then my mind and my body, because we're an eternal spirit. We live in a body that's our earth suit, and then we're managed by our mind.
Hey, any of y'all out there that are thinking, oh, that's hokey pokey stuff or whatever, listen, I'm telling you, you got to get this, the kingdom system, and get the declarations. You can go on Charlie's website and get those and do the ebook for those. In my book, Living Your Purpose, we talk about why this is so important. And I'm just telling you, it's that verse in Joel, I think 3, let the weak say I am strong. Yeah. You're literally getting you're proclaiming those things, but you're programming yourself. You're literally programming yourself to walk in that. Yeah.
That's how we're designed, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about design.
Yeah.
You know?
This is good stuff, brother. So, but you got 2 more books coming out. Are they done? Are they coming over the next year? What's your plan with those?
We describe the system.
Okay.
We describe in there and expose in scripture that that is what God's plan is for our success. Not just redemption, but restoration.
And real life stuff. Because your next one's economics, right?
Next one is kingdomnomics.
Kingdomnomics. Yeah. I got to get this terminology now.
And that is conduct and behavior. Okay. And that tells how we enter it. It's not religious. We don't follow that religious paradigm where it becomes regulation and compliance and enforcement, you know, and it is in fact a product of our design. And when we understand what our design is, we make choices, conduct and behavior that impact our outcomes. We can know before we make a decision what the outcome.
So that's going to apply not just to our personal economics, but corporately as a community.
Everything
or
about you.
Okay. Now, wait, I hate running out of time. I had so many things I wanted to ask you about. Hang on. Wait. Because the one where you use eternality. You got to explain that. Just at least give us a little taste of that, because you center a lot of stuff on that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the quality or state of being eternal. But then you said that's the most important word. That everything, all of that's the summary of all of this.
Well, you know, when the two most conversational passages in Scripture are the woman at the well and Nicodemus. That's where those are.
Where he had the longest.
Yeah,
that's true. One-on-one personal conversation.
If you look at those. It will, and really read them, not with your religious mind, but with an open spirit. Those people were desperate, and they were asking Jesus questions based on time. Why this mountain, that mountain, what's on my door, what are they? Jesus never once answered them in time. He always took them to eternity and to their eternalness. And what we are supposed to learn how to do is to see things that aren't seen, to see with the eyes of our spirit. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God made everything beautiful in its time. He also planted eternity in our spirits and our mind as an implanted sense of purpose, working through the ages, which nothing under the sun in the time will satisfy but God alone. Mm. See, we are eternal beings, and when we try to engage the earthly paradigm, we're frustrated. It doesn't work. God is just so, he's so spiritual with and religious with his stuff. I'm in the shower one morning, right? And I'm taking a shower, and the Spirit spoke to me, and he said, if it's not about eternity, it's not about the kingdom. And I said, wait a minute, what are you saying? Eternity is the foundation. God is eternal. His word is eternal. His spirit is eternal. His kingdom is eternal. And we are eternal.
Okay, that's a perfect place to circle back for our close, because that's what you said earlier that I was trying to figure out how to quantify. You had mentioned three things that we normally set as our goals, you know, in terms of time and money and that sort of thing. But if our mindset becomes eternal, then even the things we're doing here, business, ministry, all of those things, it's all for the eternal purpose.
That's it.
It changes our motive.
It does.
It changes how we set our goals. It changes what those things are going to be.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
That's the kingdom system. Actually, let me show real quick, because you had those books that are coming out. I know I'm getting ahead, because you're going to come back and we'll do. Okay, so it's Kingdomnomics and Kingdom Development. So
Deployment.
Oh,
kingdom deployment.
So that's like literally doing the.
Yeah, it tells you how to engage it, how to make it part of your life, and for you to.
And train other people to do the same thing. All right, so we're going to do the other two when they're ready, but right now, the kingdom system, best website to send people to?
God's Plan Books.
GodsPlanBooks.com. GodsPlanBooks.com. Well, thanks for joining me today, folks. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Little things can make a difference. A little note, a little smile, the small stone that David hurled at Goliath, and precious little babies. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a big way. Who will this little baby become? What giants will this baby slay? How about the mother who was spared from unspeakable sorrow because of you? You never know the difference you're going to make with a donation of just $28 to introduce a mother to her child through ultrasound. It doubles a baby's chance at life. All you have to do is take a few small minutes to make a life-saving donation. Preborn will take it from there, as their network of clinics rescue 200 tiny babies every day and share God's love with mothers. Preborn has a 100% charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Get involved today by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.